It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple plans to be 100% carbon neutral by 2030. Apple releases watchOS 6.2.8 with Car Key, two new Apple Watch activity challenges, new Apple products may be ready to ship, Tom Hanks' Greyhound sets Apple TV record, and discover just how hard it is to recreate photos of Apple wallpaper, plus reviews of a Lago AW6 case for AirPods Pro and matching iPhone cases with watch bands. This and much, much more, it's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. The Apple Watchcast is brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. Become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us keep producing this show and get a little something extra in return, like access to bonus episodes, Apple Watchcast gear, and even be a guest on the show. So check out our page at patreon.com/applewatchcast to subscribe and become a patron of the Apple Watchcast. And I want to give a shout out and thank you to Deborah Williams for becoming a patron of the Apple Watchcast. Thank you, Deborah. We really do appreciate your support. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 338, recorded Wednesday, July 22nd, 2020. The 2020 Survival Ring.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
Hey, Tom. It's day 132. Still here.
Day 130. You got a calendar? You putting little X's on it? Is it keeping track, huh? Do you get anything if you reach a certain number? No? Okay.
You don't get COVID. That's what you
get. That's what you get? That's your prize? Oh, man. Okay. Well, I think we're tied at the moment. Also joining us is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks, Tom. And Vincent, I'm thinking of getting on an airplane and going to visit my mother again. So I'm debating flying. I don't know. Should I do it?
Wow. Full body suit.
yeah. Hazmat suit would be nice. You know, when this whole thing started back in March or so, I saw something on Kickstarter or Indiegogo, one of those two. And I'm telling you, in the mindset I was in, and thinking we'd be doing these shows amidst all this stuff or whatever, I almost pulled the trigger on this thing. Someone made this giant thing that you set over your head. Think of it as a helmet with a lot of room.
Yeah. Right.
Not a mask, not whatever, and it's completely sealed, but you look like you're from another planet. And I bet they sold out of those things. I bet they completely sold out.
I imagine they did. Yes.
Yeah. That's what you got to wear if you're going to get on a plane. anyway, 338 episodes now. This is,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's getting crazy, isn't it?
Wow. It is. That's pretty impressive, if I have to say so myself.
Yeah. Now we're a little bit later this week. We're on Wednesday instead of Tuesday, but I thought it might make a difference with the, news stories from Apple, but not really. It hasn't really changed much. There's not a lot more to talk about. But before we get too far into this show, I want to do something different. I thought we'd start the show with listener feedback. Since I keep forgetting until
it's great.
Too late in the show to do it. Mm-hmm. So let's do this first. I just got like two or three of them here I want to go through. First one here is from Greg. Greg's actually from Houston. He's a photographer here in Houston. He says, "Hey guys, enjoy the podcast. Just thought I'd drop you a little tip I just started using. If I have a short list that I need to keep handy for shopping or like I did this week voting," this was from a while back, "I'll type the list in the notes on my phone and make a screenshot of it. Then I can crop it in and save it to the photos folder that my watch syncs to. That allows me to make a photo watch face. So all I have to do is look at my watch to check my list." Much easier than pulling out my phone each time. Or if it's already written out, I'll take a photo of the handwritten list and do the same thing. Once I'm done with my list, it's easy to just delete the watch face. Cheers, Greg. Thank you for that sharing that, Greg. That's actually a great tip. Never thought about that. What a handy way to do that. That would be fantastic. If you go to the grocery store and you only have a few things to get or whatever, you know, that'll you can read on a small dial because you can't scroll. That's it. But that's a neat idea. I like that.
Oh, I just realized. So you can't bring Apple Watches into a test. Like, that's your whole crib sheet in there.
Oh, that's true.
you
can just swipe over and have a different watch face each. Oh, see? You could do multiple ones. You could make a very long list. You just keep swiping, right?
Yeah. Oh,
man. You could, yes.
Yeah, they're taking your
There's
watch.
No limit.
They're taking your watch at the door. You're not getting into that. Oh, thank you for that, Greg. Next up is Robert. Robert says, I thought of Chris this morning after seeing this on my RSS feed. Do enjoy the podcast. As a recent Patreon member and listener, would love to know more about your backgrounds and how the podcast was started. Thanks, Bob. He's from Alaska. And what he's referring to here, he put a link to, I think it was from 9 to 5 Mac, a review of Live Scribe Symphony. Are you familiar with that, Chris?
Live Scribe Symphony. I cannot say I am.
Now, what it does is you hand write in this journal, and it appears as written as text in the app. So you can write on paper, basically.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard of those kind of things. I bought one for my son for Christmas where you write on paper and it goes into an app and you can sort it and organize it. It's kind of neat.
Yeah. Live Scribe Symphony. Is what this is. So pretty cool, pretty neat. I'm looking at the whole review here, but I think it's at 9 to 5 Mac, but very nice. Yeah, he thought of you because I guess you had talked about this in the past.
I do 100% of my handwriting on an app. I don't write on paper for anything. No matter what it is, never write on paper. I haven't written on paper in 2 years.
See, I would have loved back in the day when I used to have a lot of meetings and stuff and had all these little journals and notebooks everywhere. This would have been great, but that didn't exist then. The technology wasn't quite as good as it is now. But thank you for that, Robert. And last up here, Drew, a longtime listener of the show, says, Tom, Vincent, and Chris, I'm a registered developer, and I'm currently running the betas of iOS 14 and watchOS 7. From what I can tell, they're the most stable first betas I've seen, and I've had a couple of crashes and odd things happen, but nowhere near as many as previous first betas. He says, you were talking about the hand-washing feature of the watch, and after trying it for a few days, I feel it's more of a novelty than something you want to have running all the time. In this beta, it's constantly getting false triggers, such as using a crank-style coffee grinder that you hold in your hand, or from washing dishes. When you're actually washing your hands, it seems to work as advertised. The sleep function is great, especially what it does to the display when it's in sleep mode. I have a Series 4, so my display isn't always on. When the watch is 30 minutes from your scheduled bedtime, it plays a few notes from Brahms' Lullaby and gives some haptic pulses to let you know it's time to get ready for bed. Once in sleep mode, the display dims and shows the time in large digits like the extra large face, but with a thinner font. It also enters something like theater mode, so the display only activates by touching it or rotating the crown. If you rotate the crown enough, it wakes up like unlocking from water mode, but without the speakers making all those noises. If the watch detects significant movement ahead of your scheduled wake up, it asks if you're getting started early and exits sleep mode. The iPhone does the same when it's in sleep mode. To use the phone, you tap on the dismiss button to wake it up. So far, I'm really impressed on the stability and new features. I highly recommend installing the public betas on both the phone and the watch when they become available, Drew. Thank you for that detailed review there, Drew. That's fantastic to hear. I already have iOS 14, and I agree. It's very stable. I've noticed no difference at all. I haven't had a single crash with the public beta. The watch OS, we're still waiting for the public beta. It didn't happen this week. And I don't imagine it would happen this week. We're already at Wednesday. Probably next week sometime we will get it. Anyway, thank you for those. If you want to leave us a comment about our show or about the Apple Watch, or a question if you have one about the watch, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. And I promise I will be more diligent in reading those. So
we didn't talk about our backgrounds.
Oh, we didn't. Sorry. Yeah. We did that, actually. That was from Robert was asking that.
Yeah. We did it about 100 shows ago, didn't we?
It wasn't that long ago, but there was an episode where we did discuss all of our backgrounds.
We did.
I forget what episode that was. And I think it was in request from another listener.
It was.
I don't want to go through it again here, Robert. I'm sorry, but if you want to go back and listen to some, it wasn't. I want to think it's within the last 3 months, right?
Yeah.
So
I thought it was like easily a year ago. Well, I guess that would fit in then. Yeah, it was a year ago, so that would be the number of shows back.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when. If I do find which episode it was in, I'll let you know. I'll reply back to you, Robert. But I don't want to get into that right now. But
now the real reason is Tom doesn't want you to know anything about him because he might get in trouble.
Yeah, I secretly work for Apple. No, actually, our jobs may be changing if this goes on much longer. we'll have to see. But like I mentioned, there is some news. So let's get to some of that. First up is Apple released watchOS 6.2.8. Okay, so we're still in watchOS 6 here. This particular update gives you car key feature and ECG to three more countries. So that's pretty good. So the new countries, I think, are Bahrain, Brazil, and South Africa. So they now get ECG and the irregular heart rhythm notifications. And then we get the new car key, where drivers can replace their physical keys with their iPhone. Right now, that only works, I think, with one model of car, and only if you have a Series 5 watch. So the three people that aligns with will love this update.
Well, I hope it catches on better than like GymKit.
Yes. Oh, please. I think it will if they open it up to more than one model of car right now.
Yeah. A $75,000 car, I think, you know. Yeah, so let's get it down to the normal people cars.
Right. And CarPlay did the same thing. If you remember when it came out, it was only in the high-end vehicles. And then eventually you could put your own in. And now it becomes standard on a lot of vehicles. So it'll take time. But that is out. So if you can take advantage of that, go right ahead. And then next up, we got a couple of challenges I want to talk about, neither of which we can really do. The first one, Apple always does a Close Your Rings employee challenge, usually around the first of the year, like in February, where if an employee closes all three of their rings for the entire month, they get specific badges and pins and a t-shirt and all that stuff. It coincides with Heart Month. Well, because of the pandemic, they delayed it. Then now they've reinstated it this week, and it's expected to end by August 16th. So any of these employees, Apple employees, if they complete all their rings between now and then, they'll get a t-shirt that says 2020 in a logo with the kind of activity style rings. The type looks like the rings kind of thing. They get a gold pin and a couple of other things. You know, I want this 2020 t-shirt. I want a reward just for surviving 2020. Okay, where's that t-shirt? I want a gold pin for completing my 2020 survival ring. That's what I want. As you mentioned at the top of the show, Vincent, how many days are we into this now?
Yeah. Well, for me, it was since March 12th. So
yeah.
Yeah,
I want my 2020 survival ring, Apple. But that's one challenge that we cannot participate in unless you're an Apple employee. The second,
I just hope that there's an employee out there who's listening to the show to kind of take a picture and share with us.
Oh yeah, all the stuff that you get.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there's an image here of what the 2020 looks like, but it'd be nice to see the shirt and the pin and all that, you know.
Yeah.
Which they in the 2020 logo, they had to put like the Ghostbusters thing on it, you know, with the cross and the red thing around it. It's just of that. Let's move on.
Yeah. What's the t-shirt that's going around now? It says the year 2020 and they give it one star and say would not recommend. Yeah.
That's, yeah. One star is gracious.
Well, maybe the minimum you can give. The next challenge is an activity challenge that takes place for National Fitness Day in China. This is on August 8th. So Apple's done this, I think, the last couple of years. Now, China's always celebrated this National Fitness Day ever since 2008, the Beijing Olympics. And this is, I think, the third year Apple's done this. And this is very rare. It's the only instance, or one of the few, that the activity challenge is geo-locked. In other words, no one outside of China can get this. Hmm. So there's two of them that we can't do. They need to create some more just to get people through all this that are global, you know, give it to everybody.
What's interesting is one of those activities is this badminton, which is, I don't know how much folks in the States do that.
That's true. That is very specific, isn't it?
It is very so.
And there's someone, soccer or someone else might call football. Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. And skateboarding.
Skateboarding, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The badminton's pretty funny. That's kind of a very specific thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Where's the ping pong one?
It is even fun.
Right, all these other sports. I want an activity challenge for those. Mm-hmm. This just came out. Okay, because we delayed a day, we get to talk about this week. Apple's making a huge commitment here. They're trying to become 100% carbon neutral for their entire supply chain by 2030.
Wow!
That's huge, isn't it?
Yeah, that's huge.
It is. Yeah, currently Apple is carbon neutral, at least with their own stores and offices, right? But not with the supply chain. So that's a pretty bold commitment, as they say. Now, it's on their homepage. They're calling it a planet-size plan. So the commitment includes boosting the use of recycled materials, recycled discarded products, so that carbon neutrality applies to the complete life cycle of all Apple products. That's pretty cool if they can get there.
It is. Yeah. Well, you'd be relying on suppliers and logistics. There's a lot of elements of the supply chain that you don't necessarily own. You just kind of contract. So that's the key part of how they would count that.
Right. But it'd be, and that's the big ding that they've had. Whenever mm-hmm. they talk about being environmental, they're like, well, you may be, but your supply chain is not. So therefore, your products are not as much as you try. But if they can get the supply chain to do this, then you could say that every Apple device will have a net zero climate impact.
Yeah, they'll have to move out of China.
Yeah.
They do some carbon credits trading too, right? I mean, I know that, folks that you can't do delivery trucks and all that stuff, but they have to just kind of figure out how to way to offset that. But for me, I think like one of the things that in terms of the office, we have probably over 60 different, 60 MacBook devices, keyboards, mice. I mean, it makes me feel good as the procurement side of things. Mm-hmm. When folks ask for a Mac, I'm like, I don't feel so bad about the fact that, hey, it's good for the earth. And not only that, it lasts a lot longer. I mean, these MacBooks last 5-6 years and more instead of all these PCs that starts piling up.
Yeah. I mean, we talked before about Liam, right? Liam, mm-hmm. who disassembles life. And there's another one, I forget the name, but this goes way beyond that. The kind of the list here about what Apple's saying is that Apple will continue to increase the use of low carbon and recycled materials in its products, but mm-hmm. also expanding energy efficiency. They'll find new ways to lower energy use at its corporate facilities and help supply chain make the same transition, and to try to use renewable energy so that the entire supply chain is using clean power. Apple could do this. I don't know anybody other company that could, but Apple could actually do this, right? At a Foxconn facility or one of these assembly plants, they could put in an entire solar array, you know, and mm-hmm. make it be very, very efficient and clean power. But there's a number of things, like you said, the carbon credits. They're also investing in forests, so they're planting a ton of stuff all around the world. So when you stack all this up, yeah, it comes out. Their goal is to be net zero in 10 years.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, go ahead, Vincent.
I know. I was just going to say, are they apple trees? But
if they want to be on brand, they will be apple trees.
Yeah, I think if you go carbon neutral, they can do it. They have the resources to do it, which is like offsetting the negative with the positive, right?
Right.
And I think they can do it. Yeah, they can do it.
Yeah, and I don't know anyone else who can. And that becomes another name another company that could and would do it.
Yeah, I have to think about it, because you have to think through their business model and mm-hmm. and their product list and product set.
Right. Samsung? No.
Huh?
They make too many things. There's no way. Apple only makes a certain number of products, right? Samsung makes everything, right? From refrigerators to whatever. So they really couldn't say that unless they use the same facilities that Apple uses, right? Once Apple does this.
But it's carbon neutral, right? Carbon neutral. So if you have so much carbon on this side and you can offset it on this side, that's neutral. So if a company's big enough and has the resources, you can do the offsetting part of it. So what other company couldn't invest in a forest or invest in emissions? I think it can be done, Tom.
Right, but that's the only way they could do it.
I mean, sure.
The other thing that I think comes into play here is Apple switching to their own silicon. Because mm-hmm. now they control that part of it completely. You know, the more pieces Apple controls, the more they can get a handle on this, right? And isn't that kind of the last piece of the puzzle here?
I don't know how many of their monitors in glass. It's still, they buy a lot of Samsung and LG parts for that kind mm-hmm. of stuff, even the screens.
That's probably where a lot of the offsetting's coming from. Yeah, things like that they can't control. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this is fantastic for them to be able to say in 10 years that no matter what Apple product you buy, it has a net zero impact.
Yeah.
No, I like. Oh, go ahead, Vincent. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I love when you put a lofty goal out there. I just love that in business or personal life. Put something out there aggressive and go for it, because if you don't do that, then you're never going to make it.
Yeah, and that's something that Apple has, you know, they got to, for a while they were very environmental and they kind of got away from it, mm-hmm. and now they're back in it in quite a big way. And you notice, at least I've noticed, in most all the keynotes, whenever Phil Schiller would get up there and talk about a new product, they always have that checklist, right, of the environmental things about this new iPad or whatever, and he'd go down the whole thing. You know, emission-free, this, and this. So they've been making a big deal about it for quite a while. But yeah, this is a pretty bold statement. I think they'll get there. I think they will.
Yeah. I think once they put, like, I think her Lisa Jackson, I think, head of environment and policy, stuff like that, she's...
Yes.
It's become a pretty prominent thing that they're doing. But did you mention that the video? The video is awesome.
Oh, yes. There was a video that they had on here, a climate change promise from Apple, which is it's more of a high concept video. It's one of those things I would have loved to have pitched, because mm-hmm. it doesn't show anything. It's just a baby and someone talking to the baby about when you're 10 years old. We're doing this now so that when you're 10, this is what the world will be like.
Yeah.
You know, that's just wonderful. Just
super simple.
Yeah. Tugging at the heartstrings. Oh,
I can't imagine it's 2030 in 10 years. Oh my gosh.
That's the interesting. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That's the thing. You're like, holy. Holy crud.
It's 10 years, but can I go there now? Can we leave 2020, please? As quickly as possible.
Hey, we're almost at August. Can you believe it? I mean, we're almost at August 2020, and mm-hmm. I won't go there. Let's just move on.
Yeah, the year is more than half over. Mm-hmm. Look on the bright side, Tom. It's almost
Thank
half
God
over.
It's half over. Yes.
Stop being a pessimist. It's half over. What else is going on? This I almost was hesitant to even talk about, but we didn't have a whole lot going on. So this isn't from someone who was leaking, I guess a leaker, as they call them. What a great name to call someone a leaker, because they've known to have leaked information in the past.
Yeah.
But according to them, they're saying that new Apple products are ready to ship. And that I don't know why, but Apple had apparently planned to unveil a redesigned iMac with thinner bezels at the WWDC event, but ended up not doing it. So anyway, this tweet is very, as I say, rather cryptic. And the person here is called Love to Dream, is the at Love to Dream, says, in my dream, some products are ready to ship. Is that what we're reduced to now, discussing people's dreams as rumors of possible future releases by Apple?
Yeah, I know. I read this, and I really wasn't sure how to take this story.
Yeah, this is crazy. Yeah, Apple's – I could make this prediction. Apple's about to release a bunch of stuff. and we know what they are. We know it's a new iMac. We know it's AirTags. We know it's over-the-ear headphones. We know it's a new Apple TV. We know there's probably going to be a new HomePod. It doesn't take much to figure that out. The question is when. They didn't put a date on this, did they? If they told me that August 12th all of this was coming out, then I'd be impressed. But we don't know.
So, no.
So anyway, let's move on. I'd be thrilled. I'm dying for a new iMac here, and I would be thrilled if Apple did that. But I'm not holding my breath just yet. This is a patent apparently that surfaced from Apple, again talking about Apple glasses. That apparently, according to this patent, Apple is looking at the idea of any surface could become a virtual touch interface.
Yeah, I know. I brought this up.
Is that not crazy?
Yeah.
To think about and how they're doing it. It's using infrared heat sensing to detect when you touch a real world object. So they know you interacted with it. The heat transfer, I guess, is what we're talking about. That when you touch something and move your finger off of it, there's some heat left behind. So it knows that you tapped on that virtual thing on your desk. Wow.
Right.
That's very neat. That's insane. Again, it's just a patent, but it's interesting that all the way back, what'd they say, all the far back as 2016, they've been looking at this. So this has been in the works for quite a while.
This reminds me of like on cold days, maybe it might not work, but like when you have gloves on and I don't have the gloves that where, you know, it can actually detect your touch.
Oh, yeah, that's right. why are you pounding the desk? It's like, nothing's happening.
The cold day, I got to warm up.
Yeah, that's true.
In the pictures, in the article, it talks, you can see that it has the Apple Maps there. I think, I wonder, would you actually, I guess you would be touching the app. It would show the app, you know, render an app in front of you to do this. Or how would it kind of work
on a surface? Yeah,
render
the app or something like that.
Yeah, it would render a button.
Okay.
Or whatever. I mean, it could be what is currently on your iPad could be on your table.
Yeah, that's right. It could be the home screen, right? The home screen. You can kind of go from there.
Right. This kind of reminds me of before the iPhone, when the touch technology was still kind of in development stage. And I remember seeing a video that someone had like an entire tabletop that was touch and they were moving and sliding things around and doing stuff. And we're thinking, wow, the future of that's going to be incredible, right? This kind of reminds me of that sort of thing. that you're, mm-hmm. you're now kind of in a whole different world as far as interaction goes. But we'll see. It's you know,
looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, today this is 2020, 2022 maybe glasses come out 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I'll be in line buying that thing. Just gotta start.
I already have a place in line. I'm paying someone to hold my place in line right now, as we speak. That'd be funny. Okay, next up is, I don't know why, all of a sudden, there's a lot of articles about a lot of people having problems, or just a lot of, I don't want to use the word hate, that's too strong of a word, a lot of negativity about the Apple TV remote. I don't know why. There's several stories, and one of them, maybe it's spurred because of this. It's a company called Function 101 is going to offer for $30 an alternative Apple TV remote control with actual physical buttons.
Why?
Because people, it drives them crazy to use that glass surface.
I don't. I use my phone. I use the app on my phone.
Right. Anybody who uses
my watch.
Anybody who uses their phone or watch does not have a problem with it. It's mm-hmm. people who try to use the remote exclusively, and they're not. How should I put this? They're not technologically intuitive with it.
I can get it. I can get it a little bit, because the swiping up and down, the pushing mm-hmm. and the clicking could get a little squirrely at times.
Yeah, right. But sometimes, I mean, I'm totally guilty of grabbing that thing backwards and trying to click on the
same here side. All the time.
I solve that problem. Or rather, Alago solved that problem. They make a silicon case that wraps around it, and it covers the bottom part. So when you pick it up just by feel, you know which way is up.
I know, but like, of all the things that you protect and put a case on.
Yes, I know. It sounds silly.
Exactly. You're right, Vincent.
But it has made a huge difference. I no longer dread the remote. I can toss it around, do whatever. I'd never accidentally set anything off anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's, I think something like, it just tells me when a third party comes out with something that fixes that Apple needs to rethink this.
To some degree.
Now, what this, there's two things that this function remote does not have. Number one is a Siri button. Mm-hmm. Right. If you use that a lot, doesn't have that. Second of all, it's infrared. So if your Apple TV's hidden behind your TV or somewhere, this isn't going to work for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not a complete solution here either.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I use my HomePod a lot. Well, two things I use the HomePod for: sound going up and down, and then pausing and starting. That's what I use it for when I'm on the Apple TV, and it works really well. But this might help when your dog jumps on your lap and hits that Apple remote and changes the channel for you, or
That has happened with us. Yes. Yeah. Or I drop it somewhere, you know, and it just it goes off when you go to, you know. Yeah, stuff like that does happen.
Speaking of dropping it, that remote is glass.
Yes.
That surface, I mean, it will crack.
The other thing is, it does need to be charged from time to time.
Yeah, it does.
I tend to forget that until I get the notice that it's low. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I got to go find a cable and plug it in.
That's why you just use your phone or your watch and you're good.
Yeah, a lot of people really do seriously dislike that remote. And to me, it's one of the few design things that Apple's done that I don't think they completely thought it through, right? Because there are some things you could do to make it better. It's almost as bad, but not quite, as the Magic Mouse that charges on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge design flaw that I still do not understand why they haven't fixed.
Now, what is that? The Magic Mouse that charges on the bottom?
Yeah, the port to charge it, to plug it in, is on the bottom of the mouse. So when it runs out of power, you can't use it when it's plugged in.
Okay. Right?
Yeah, it's just
you can, but it's awkward.
I've never tried. Can you actually do that? I don't know.
I don't think I've used a mouse in 5 years, so I couldn't tell you.
Oh, really?
I haven't touched a mouse in 5 years. Maybe more than that.
I have two of them right here. What I use a lot with the Magic Mouse that I do like is its glass surface is sliding, using the finger to flip through things and quickly scroll through menus and all that kind of stuff. Using that touch surface, I do that all the time. In fact, if I sit down with a mouse that isn't like that, I don't know what to do.
That's funny you say that, because like I've got teammates that join us and we switch them from PCs to Mac, and we give them this mouse and they're like, what is going on?
There's no button. Where's the two buttons? Yeah.
Yeah.
My wife uses a different kind of mouse. It's like an ergonomic kind of thing on her Mac. It's just every time I touch it, I can't use it. It's just too weird. Too strange of a mouse. Everybody gets used to what they use.
They do.
But all right, moving on. Let's. I thought this was very interesting. Okay, we talked about the Tom Hanks movie Greyhound.
I did watch it, by the way.
People are pissed off.
What was that?
That's why people are upset about the remote. They're all trying to watch Greyhound.
That's right. And in the middle of it, something happens. You did watch it, Chris?
I did. We talked about it last week, so I went ahead and watched it.
Nice.
You're right. It's short.
Yes.
And there's no character development.
Right.
But it's interesting as hell.
Oh yeah.
The tit for tat back and forth. Really nicely done from a strategic standpoint.
Yeah. Very riveting. It is fantastic. It's one of those that I do kind of want to go back and watch it again. Just to maybe catch some stuff I didn't the first time around. Well, apparently we're not the only ones who watched it, because they're saying that this debut rivaled that of a big box office hit movie. That according to sources close to Apple, it was the largest opening weekend release ever for Apple TV Plus.
That's amazing.
That is pretty cool. This is according to a Deadline report. Sources say that the opening weekend audience for the film rivaled that of a summer theatrical box office hit, which is very significant for Tom Hanks, because it was his studio that produced it. He wrote it. He starred in it. I think he produced it as well. And it was supposed to come out, I think, in May or June. But with the pandemic, Sony Pictures had to choose between delaying it. In other words, nobody would see this film at all this year, or putting it out to a streaming service, and they did, and Apple won the bid for that. Now, Apple won't comment on what TV series or movie it previously held the record, but they think it may be Defending Jacob with Chris Evans, which I think broke a record that was previously held by The Morning Show, which obviously was the first one everybody probably tuned into at least one episode of that.
I'll be honest with you. If I'd gone to a movie theater and watched Greyhound, I might have had a different experience. It was kind of short to go pay $11.
It was short, but I think your experience with it would have been different.
Yeah, it'd been different.
Giant screen, immersed in the sound, with an audience. I don't know. You're right. It could have gone either way. I'm a big believer in, you like a movie when you go to the theater. It all depends on what mood you're in when you go. It really does. If you're kind of not having a great day and you go see something, you're probably not going to like the movie either. You know, you kind of have to be open to it. But I don't know. But one significant thing they are saying here is that it drew in a bunch of new users to the Apple TV. So about 30% of those who watched it signed up just to watch it.
Right.
That's where they're playing Netflix's game, right? Mm-hmm. This is where Apple TV is taking on Netflix, because that's Netflix, that's their whole model. This is fantastic. Now, this article that I got this from is also talking about these other deals, and I don't think we've mentioned these. Apple is stepping up in a bigger way than I thought for Apple TV Plus. Initially, when you read the first list of shows, it was like, okay, it's all right. But now when I start to look at this list, you know, you have the Tom Hanks thing. They just acquired Killers of the Flower Moon, directed by Martin Scorsese with Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio.
I just read that book.
I did too.
Oh.
It's one of the highest profile films in Hollywood right now.
And, seriously? And for that book?
Yes. And it will be Apple exclusive. I know. I read the book and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have.
Yeah, me too. I read that book. I was like, holy cow. Amazing. I don't know. It's hard to think about. If you're out there, go read the book and you'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's different. It's different. Now, then again, be in the hands of Martin Scorsese. So who knows, right?
Well, I read that, what's his name? Leonardo DiCaprio's in that movie.
Yeah.
And he switched around to different roles because he had a role and he wasn't sure it was going to work. So he took a different role within the movie and, you know, and he's playing that role now. And, when I connected him to the role that he was in the book, I was like, "Eh, that's not as powerful." But we'll see. If it's Martin Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio, it's going to be good because both those guys are one of the top two or three in the industry. But it's going to be if they make it as the book, it's going to be like depressing as heck.
Yeah, I was going to say if they make it just, they can't make it just like the book. First of all,
Is it a good book or is it depressing?
So Vincent, it's basically how the white man continued to take advantage of the Indian population. That's all. So just go read it.
Yeah. Robert De Niro's in it too.
Yeah. Robert De Niro's in it too. Yeah.
Now I don't know which character DiCaprio is going to play. So I'm going to try to avoid that until this ever gets made and finished.
He's playing the husband of the main Indian woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was going to play the bad guy. He was going to play the bad guy, but he didn't like that role, so he swapped over to the
That's interesting.
So they're going to have to swap the story around a little bit because he wasn't the main protagonist in the book.
Right. I just hope this is Scorsese at his best and not like what was the last one he just did with Netflix? The Irishman.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I could barely
That book's much better than the movie.
Well, I could barely get through that movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
That I just hope this doesn't end up being. Anyway, the other thing that they have coming up is a Will Smith film called Emancipation. And they paid more money to acquire this film at a festival than has ever been paid before. I think it was over $100 million to get this project. Whoa. And. Yeah, that's just crazy. And then we all saw the trailer for Foundation, which
it'll be crazy.
Is going to be could be Apple's Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
There's talk of that. And then on top of all of that is Masters of the Air. And that is the third installment of the World War II miniseries that Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks did with Band of Brothers and the Pacific. Mm-hmm. And this is about the Air Force called Masters of the Air. And it's the first one that will be produced by Apple's own studio. So
when
I look at all of this, and there's some more too, there's Justin Timberlake, his drama Palmer was just, I think, acquired by Apple. Timberlake is a former college football phenomenon who, after a stint in prison, returns to his hometown to get his life back on track. He's unexpectedly tasked with looking after a unique boy who has been abandoned by his mother. That's got Oscar nomination
really good.
Written all over that kind of story, right?
Yeah.
But, oh my gosh, when you put all this together, Apple is really stepping up.
And you know, the interesting thing, Tom, is I haven't seen a ton of marketing on all those shows. It's kind of show up on the app or show up on the TV.
Yeah. Well, and this is just
been kind of quiet.
This is just the stuff that we've heard of. I'm sure there's other deals being made. I mean, they've got, another series in development with Julia Louis-Dreyfus that's supposed to happen. Did you ever see The Banker?
Yes. It was great.
I thought it was fantastic.
It was great. So, again, one of those things you're like, I'm going to watch this. And I was like, I was really impressed with that. And then, of course, I go on and I want to read the book and I Google everything. And those guys were those guys were geniuses. They just made a couple of small errors that kind of messed them up.
But and now that was kind of plagued by controversy, though, the whole movie, because there were, I think, sexual misconduct allegations about the son of the man who the stories inspired by the film. So all of that kind of
threw
a bit of a damper on the whole release of this, of that particular one, but still a very good movie. Anyway, Apple's really getting its act together. I'm pretty excited. I just hope the pandemic doesn't prevent them from filming a lot of this, you know, delaying it, I'm sure.
All right.
So that's this week in Apple TV.
I was actually thinking we should like do a sub podcast, you know, and do Apple TV, and we probably have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I was wondering, is there an Apple TV Plus podcast? I'm sure there is.
I'm sure.
Yeah. But it's to the point now where you could do one because there's so much material.
My question is, can you take an old Apple Watch and turn it into an Apple TV remote?
What does it work on? Yeah, sure. Why couldn't you?
Why couldn't you?
It would have to be, would it have to be paired with the phone?
I guess I'd have to.
Yeah.
At that point.
You'd have to make it active with the phone, but otherwise, yes, you definitely could. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, maybe too, when the HomePod Mini comes out and the new OS for HomePod comes out, you can set the HomePod Mini right next to you, and all you do is talk, and you can do everything you need to do. That's what it needs to come down to.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, in this, I don't want to call it downtime, but in this lockdown time, I really need to sit down and work on that. On Siri commands, because I don't know a lot of them. Mm-hmm. And there's so much I probably could be doing with it more. I just don't know what those are. You have to guess, right? But I know there's a list. I think we've mentioned it on the show before of current things or voice commands that it will know.
I did it on a show. I can't even remember. But I did the... I think I did a review of what I use my HomePod for. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a small amount of commands, Tom. It's not as big and wide as you think when it comes to HomePod and what you can use.
Oh, really?
Now, Siri, I think Siri.
Well, that's what I mean, Siri, yeah.
Yeah, unless you can utilize Siri on the remote more than you can use it on the HomePod.
Yeah, I don't use it as much as I should.
Yeah.
You know, like even just to search, I should probably use it more. But
yeah, you should. I use it a lot. Right. I'm always talking to it.
All right. Moving on. There's a couple of quick little things I wanted to mention here. I saw this on Reddit. Boy, I get lost in Reddit. And the topic of Apple Watch, but this one in particular caught my eye. It's about how this person wears their Apple Watch, or their favorite combination, I should say. They have discovered an interesting way to do the double band. And by that, I mean you have one band that's – one side is red and the other is black, let's say. So you're wearing two different colors of the band. But what they did was create a screen for their photo watch face that's a gradation from the red to the black. So it looks seamless, like it was designed that way. So you have a bunch of mismatching bands, so you want to wear two different colors – this is a very interesting way to do it. So they just created a gradation, saved it as a photo, and made a photo face for it. I love it. I think that's fantastic. I'll put a
super creative.
I'll put a photo of that in the show notes so you can have a look at that. And then the next thing, this was on Twitter. Lauren Gallo posted this. Said it was very interesting to compare 2001 to 2020, and showed a billboard from 2001 that shows the original iPod, and it says, say hello to iPod, 1,000 songs in your pocket. And then the next billboard is from this year that shows the iPhone and an Apple Watch, and it says 60 million songs on your wrist. And that is quite the statement of to how far we've come. Mm-hmm. From
that's
one
awesome
to the other. And I'd never really thought about it that way, but you have an Apple Watch and you have Apple Music, and you have a cellular connection on your watch, you have your access to 60 million songs on your wrist.
Yep. Yeah,
I think Steve, sure do. I think Steve Jobs would have approved of that. And then the last thing I want to mention here, and I don't know if either of you had a chance to watch this video, but I was just fascinated by it. There's these three friends out in California who set out to recreate the macOS Big Sur wallpaper image. Now, previously, they went out and recreated all of the other images that Apple has done for Catalina and all the other named California landmarks. And by recreate, I mean they try to get the exact same shot. And the video is fantastic because turns out that, and they tried to do this within a week of it being announced. Yeah. They had no idea what it was. They were packed and ready to go. And it turns out it was not that far from their house. but it was from the vantage point was 4,000 feet over the ocean. And you cannot fly a drone in Big Sur. That
totally amazing.
And you had to use a helicopter. So they asked around. They found out someone who had a helicopter that could do it. Turns out the helicopter pilot was the exact pilot who took Apple around to get that exact shot.
How convenient. Well,
I'm sure there's not too many pilots.
No, there's not. They do a tour of Big Sur. So anyway, it's just these guys are amazing. The footage that they shot for this video is fantastic.
It's beautiful.
It's absolutely.
Time-lapse stuff,
Oh, how do they?
It is. It's well, you know, I would say 10, 12 years ago, I can't remember the exact date, I did the Route 1 trip from San Francisco to L.A.
Oh, nice.
And I was alone. You know, I was like in a business trip. I'm like, I can take the train or drive. I'm in a rental car. I'm like, oh, this would be okay. Stunning. If you haven't done it, if you live in the United States or you're traveling to the United States, do that trip and you will be like, oh, my God, that's the coolest thing in the world. It was amazing.
Yeah, I did that once. Was out in California in L.A. For a some commercial editing. We were doing editing a bunch of spots and doing a bunch of stuff. And we had a down day over the weekend. So I rented a car. I rented a convertible, of course. And I drove from there to San Diego was the trip. And
nice.
That was still beautiful, beautiful trip. Yeah.
I didn't have a convertible, but it was still kind of fun.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Anyway, I'll put a link in the show notes for this. Check out this video. These guys are very talented.
They did a great job.
There's something so California about it. And their video, it just seems very Apple-like, their video. Mm-hmm. They need to hire these guys.
I think that's their angle. I think I was going to suggest we should go and recreate.
They're doing very well, I have to say. That's a great great resume. Anything else in the news? We kind of rambled on here. Not a whole lot going on. Okay, let's move on to what we like this week. Chris, why don't you kick it off?
Sure, Tom. So there's a combination of a number of new bands that came out this summer, as well as some later last year. So I really hadn't bought bands in a while. I was looking, it's like it's been 6-7 months and I hadn't bought any bands. So I said, I'm going to kind of look. I liked, you know, the Seafoam looked nice. The Grapefruit looked nice. The Surf Blue looked nice. I thought, all right, I'm going to buy one. So I bought Cactus. I said, I'm going to buy the phone case as well. So they showed up together and I put the Cactus watch band on. I put the Cactus phone case on. And I was like, this is really nice. All right. So I know little things in life, right, that really kind of get you excited.
Yeah.
But I had – and, of course, I'm not in front of as many people as I used to be. Mm-hmm. But even when I would get in front of people, like, wow, that – your case is great. Wait, your watch band matches your case. It really looks nice. So I really liked the Cactus. I said, okay, that was a nice science project. I'm going back. So I went and bought the Seafoam. I bought the Seafoam, which I think is a 2020 color.
Right.
And I was a little worried about the Seafoam, but I bought the same thing, the phone case and the watch band, and I bought the Grapefruit combination, and I bought the Surf Blue. And I'll tell you, I've just been rotating with those four, and I love them a lot. They really look good. I think you bought them all. I didn't get the vitamin C, which I think you have, right?
Yeah, I love the vitamin C. Yeah,
I haven't bought the vitamin C, which I live in Knoxville, Tennessee. I think I need vitamin C, so it's probably my next color. But I'm telling you, those are really nice colors. I don't wear any of my Nike bands anymore. Any of my sport loops, I'm just stuck on these four bands. I just rotate them, you know, weekly. So anyway, that's what I like this week. I'm really enjoying the new bands and the phone cases together.
Yeah, those are fantastic. And remember I mentioned before, this is the second step to this for Apple would be to come out with matching watch faces
for
that entire combination that you can then, get a link to or whatever. And it would just, there they are. They match perfectly. It's
funny you should mention that. I went in and kind of looked for the simple, like gradient.
Right.
The numerals mono. I matched numerals mono. And I matched, I think it's numerals duo. I matched. So I did some matching.
Okay.
The colors may not be 100% correct.
Right.
But they still look great.
And you do have to kind of guess, but it'd be nice to have the whole package of all the faces that match that color, that go with it. That'd be fantastic. But I know what you mean about switching out the band and you're not around a lot of people anymore. So who's really looking at it? I kind of have some of that too. I switch out my band a lot and I realize I'm only doing it for myself now. But I do like them. I do love, I'm wearing a Nike sport loop right now. The sweatpants of Apple Watch bands. Mm-hmm. It's the, I don't know what they call it. It's just a white. It's a bright white version. And all I can think of when I'm looking at this is how nice this would be with a ceramic Apple Watch. But
yeah, true.
Everything goes well with that ceramic.
I know. I just, all right.
Well, I've got both cactus, the watch band and the phone case. And I have a numerals duo. Like about 4 or 5 in the afternoon, I change from like the infograph when I see I've made all my numbers, and I switch to the numerals, the mono or the duo, and I have the hour matches the watch band, and then the minutes is like a different color, but it's offsetting, but it looks really nice.
That's pretty cool.
I was really happy with those purchases.
Okay, I've got for what I like this week. I'm kind of on a kind of a pattern here. Elago. Once again, I've got some stuff from Elago here. This one is the AW6 case for your AirPods Pro. I did the rugged case, I think, a few weeks ago. This is a, how do I put this? An iPod style. So this is a silicone case for your AirPods Pro that, when closed up, has a round dial on the front. Which is basically your click wheel from the old iPod. And what's really nice about it is you can charge through the case. And when you set this down, your wireless charging case, the light lights up dead center of the click wheel. So they matched it up really well. And on the top, you have kind of this fake button that you would have on the top of the iPod with the orange, little slider button. Anyway, it's fantastic. It's a really nice little case. And you've also got, it comes in white with kind of a gray click wheel. They also make a version in black with a red click wheel, which matches, again, the old style of the iPod.
I think U2 version or something like that? Is that what it was?
I think it was. Yeah, and it came loaded with the entire collection of U2 music. But it still was a very popular one. Oh, gosh, how do you remember that? and then it, kind of in conjunction with that is they say, well, if I don't have an AirPod Pro, I have the first or second generation AirPods. They make the same kind of style cover for those cases, those charging. It has to be the charging case for this one. But it's the same thing in the white with the gray click wheel and the black with the red click wheel that fits your AirPods first and second generation case. So those are really, they fit together so well and they're so cute. I mean, it's just, I love seeing this thing sitting on my desk. I've got the white one here And next to my white keyboard and my white Apple mouse that I was talking very poorly about earlier. But you put them all together, it just feels very Apple-like. And then the last thing I want to mention, as long as we're talking about the iPod, is Elago also makes what they call the W6 stand, which is an Apple Watch charging station that you set your Apple Watch into that looks just like the iPod. And the Apple Watch screen becomes the screen of the iPod. And that's for charging. And it's a very heavy weighted silicone. Again, it comes in white with a gray click wheel and in black with the red click wheel. And I'll put a link in the show notes to all of these. So if you want to get a little retro feel for the week with the a little throwback to the iPod. I kind of miss those days because I had every one of them. they were fantastic. Every one that came out with was better than the next one. But anyway, fantastic.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned it because I literally just sent one of those as a gift.
Oh, did so you really?
Really cool. No kidding.
Yeah, Elago's got some. I mean, I haven't been to their website in a while, and I'm kind of scrolling through, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they've got so many different.
Yeah, they're creative.
Cases.
Good group of designers.
They really are. Yeah. I mentioned the case for the Apple TV remote. I love that. And that, again, something I use every day. How much are these things, by the way? I didn't even mention the price. $14 for the AirPod Pro version.
That's another thing about Elago. Good designers, nice products, and great price.
Yeah, decent price.
Always. They're a good company.
Yep. Okay. Is that, Vincent, did you, yes, no, anything?
Not much.
To talk about?
Other than spending this week, completely immersed in Scrabble Go, I made the mistake of installing it and then playing as my wife. But like, it's every other 5 minutes or so I get a buzz on my watch to let me know it's my turn. So I guess what I like this week is being notified that it's my turn to play Scrabble.
So have
nothing wrong with that.
Have you been notified during the show here?
A couple of times, yes.
All right, fantastic. All right, well, I guess that's it. So nothing else before we close the rings on this week's episode. Couldn't come up with anything more clever than that.
that works, Tom.
Yeah, it works. Normally I have something better. But anyway, well, that is all the time we have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, for being here. I really do appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce the show. So check it out at patreon.com/AppleWatchCast. Links to stuff we talk about can be found on our website at applewatchcast.com. You can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. Look for us and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. As always, thanks for listening. Stay safe. And until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.